Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Vanderpump Villa, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa is a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, out now on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Roosevelt, a glamorous estate in the French countryside. Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and wild misadventures. As they try to provide a once-in-a-lifetime experience for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards, and not everyone has what it takes. So watch Vanderpump Villa, out now on Hulu.
Ladies and gentlemen,
are you? You don't get that title. You've been rude as f-. You get
Sister
the title
Soldier.
Of a mother f- sitting on a couch.
Are you mad because I shit in Nick's toilet?
I
was shit in
like
yours
I'm
next.
Do it. It's upstairs.
You flush toilet,
bitch.
Lord,
I will watch you, bitch.
I'm not answering the
I will spit watch
in the
you.
Mouth. Is that Phil again?
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, our Summer House edition. Starting off with Martha's Vineyard before we head over to whatever the hell happened in the Hamptons. Mike really could be the alternate title to Summer House. Whatever the hell is happening in the Hamptons. But let's talk about Martha's Vineyard. So we're now at day 4 out of 15. Amir and Phil. Filthy Phil are being broken up. Amir says bullying is a huge trigger for him because he was bullied for his race. He was bullied for being a nerd, an Urkel type of dude. Now, you tell me, why when Amir said that he got bullied for being an Urkel type, did they show Nick? Why did they flash to Nick? No one didn't need to do that. Silas goes downstairs to see what happened, and Amir is like, yo, he disrespected everybody in this house. He said something about Preston's shirt being too small. He shit up all in Nick's bathroom. He said something to Alex earlier, and this shit's gonna escalate, and I have no problem handling business. That was hot to me. And I'm ashamed to say it, okay? Amir is not my type. I'm not into like muscular dudes. I'm definitely not into dudes who clearly know that they're hot and are like, ugh, I'm just a little cutie. And yet it did something for me. I'm not going to lie about that, but I am a little bit mad about Amir, but we'll have to talk about that later. So Preston and Alex are at this point, like, he's got to go. Phil has got to go. Dead ass. Shanice is going into Preston's room. She really doesn't know what happened. Like, the people that invited Phil into this house are Shanice, Bria, really. But, like, Shanice and Jordan know him or have some sort of relationship with him. So Jordan then says in a confessional, like I said, she's never physically met Phil in person before, but Shanice has spoken to him. Bria knows him. She, Jordan herself, has spoken on the phone to Phil several times, and she just, like, wants to make him feel important. Now, this lasts for about 5 seconds because he immediately starts giving Jordan attitude about, like, she's just asking, okay, what day were you supposed to be here? Like, trying to figure out this whole bedroom situation. And he's like, I was supposed to be here every fucking day, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, okay, don't cuss me out. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on because I'm tired of the bullshit. So Phil point blank tells her, I shit in his toilet. So Jordan waits a beat and goes, but how come? And Phil says, well, because it was my toilet. But Jordan says, but he didn't know. And Phil says, well, I didn't find that out until after the fact. So really, we should all be cussing Bria out right now. And maybe even Milo. And so Jordan has to be like, what has Milo got to do with it? And I'm asking the same thing. This poor little long-haired dachshund is catching a stray every episode, and he's done nothing but be cute and try to live his best life and be an emotional support to Bria. Is the emotional support working? Hard to say. But, you know, other than that, he seems to be like a fairly well-behaved, staying out of people's way dog. So Phil's like, oh, well, you know, he made me chase him around the house. Have you ever had to do that? I'll give you $100 if you could catch Milo right now. Like, I bet you can't catch him. And then he actually, like Scott Disick style, pulls out $100 bill and puts it next to her. So Jordan looks at him and is like, yo, this is besides the point. And then Shanice comes downstairs and Jasmine tells her, or Jordan rather, is like, he doesn't want to have a conversation with me. Like, he's being really rude. So Phil goes, well, I called you cute. I love that Jordan being called hot is like such a trigger for her. I appreciate that. So then Jordan snaps. She's like, oh my god, he said I'm cute, you guys. I'm so desperate for Phil to tell me I'm cute. Oh my god, my life is made. Thank you. And so at this point, the others are like, all right, we gotta have like a real world style house meeting. So Jasmine comes into the room and says, okay, ladies, like, let's go in the other room. And Phil goes, and gentlemen, to which Jordan goes, are you? You don't get that title. You've been rude as fuck. You get the title of a motherfucker sitting on a couch. And Phil says, are you mad because I shit in Nick's toilet? Because I might shit in yours next. And then she really pops off. She's like, do it. It's upstairs, bitch. And I'll watch you, bitch, do it. I don't give a fuck. You're a fucking bitch. You got me fucked up. I love it. I love that she's in this bubblegum pink bikini being separated by like four different grown ass men. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care if you're 7 feet tall, bitch. I will be in your face if you violated me. Never in anywhere on Bravo did I think I would hear a man threaten to shit in somebody's toilet and not flush for the second time, and then the response to that be like, do it, I'll watch you. And I think somehow we're blessed for that. I felt good. Somehow. So at this point, everybody in the house, with the exception of Mariah and Phil, have a conversation. House meeting. And Jordan says, Phil's gotta go. Silas tries to implement, like, the talking football, like, whoever's holding the football gets to speak, and he gets interrupted, like, you know, uninterrupted, right? So Nick's like, I really don't think we need to do that. Just doesn't really feel necessary, like, everybody's on the same page, but Silas insists that he'll feel better if he does it. Mind you, nobody was interrupting anybody. So Silas says, Phil has disrespected a number of people. Raise your hand if you want him to stay. Nobody raises their hand. Everybody raises their hand to him leaving. So Jasmine goes, okay, whoever invited Phil, they need to have a conversation with him about leaving. Is everybody else good? And Bria says, no. She says she wants to go home. And then in a confessional, Bria says, everybody's tripping out about Phil and what he's doing, but do you guys not recall what Mariah did to me before we left for dinner? So then Bria tells the group, if somebody puts their hands on somebody else, that's a problem. Jasmine says, listen, I don't even know where Mariah is right now, but Bria's like, I don't want her here. Which I think was pretty fucking unfair. Like, okay, Phil came into this house like a wrecking ball. He's been here 45 minutes and has insulted damn near everybody. He can pack his knives and go. Mariah's been here. She's has friendships with a few of the people, particularly Jasmine. I don't think it's fair that she didn't get to speak her piece, or I didn't feel like the situation was so violent that she couldn't even be a part of the conversation. It just seems pretty unfair. So Nick even tries to stick up for Mariah and is like, well, she lives here. But Bria says, well, yeah, she does live here, but did she put her hands on you? It's a different story. So then Bria tells everybody, Mariah's gotta leave. And she says in a confessional, if my friend Phil's gotta go, so does Mariah. End of story. So Silas says, listen, Bria stated that Mariah has assaulted her. And Jordan says, and it's shitty. Because I fuck with Mariah heavy, but what she did was some bullshit. And that's it. Silas says that he recommends that if somebody gets physical, they just have a general house rule. If there's any physicality that happens in the house, they need to draw the line, and that's it, regardless of what it was. So Jasmine says, okay, I'm going to be the one to have a conversation with Mariah. But then in a confessional, she's upset. She's like, Mariah's my best friend, but at the same time, I didn't see her put her hands on Bria. But if I'm going to prioritize everybody else's comfort, I've got to make a difficult decision. So then the screen tells us that we're now 5 hours post-poo. Preston's walking around. He's feeling very awkward because Mariah and Phil are in the kitchen not knowing that everybody just kicked them out. And so he doesn't want to be like, you know, like truly like that little women Atlanta, like, hey, how y'all doing? You know, like awkward, right? So he runs up to the room. Bria then calls Phil over. She's sitting on the couch, chilling, wrapped up in her blanket, real nonchalantly. It's like, Phil, I don't know what you did, but everybody downstairs wants you gone, so you gotta go. So Phil starts telling, he's like yelling, like, it's actually your fault for not leaving the note, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, does that justify you shitting in a toilet and then not flushing? Great question. So at that point, production and security get him a car. He's out. What a long night. Because didn't he, like, miss his flight? Missed his flight. All that travel. It's not easy to get into Martha's Vineyard. Where did he go? Hopefully there was a room at the inn for him. So it's now, like, well after 2 a.m., and Jasmine still needs to have this conversation with Mariah. So she's stressing out. But then, once again, she loses me in a confessional when Jasmine's like, you know, I've just been extra cautious about my friendships lately since the wedding. What does this have to... Never mind. It's like I said, it's like 2:30 at this point. I'm assuming production left with Phil. We're sent home. And so we only really see this conversation between Jasmine and Mariah from like whatever cameras that they have set up 24 hours, right? So Jasmine is like, listen, neither you nor Bria should have gotten to the point where you guys got to. And what breaks my heart is that you had such a beautiful night with that moon mass and it was so great. But people are saying that you touched Bria. So Mariah says, I want to know who saw me touch her. And honey, the answer to that would be all of us. All of America saw you touch her. Was it like, did you clock her clean in the forehead? No, but you touched her. You did. So Jasmine says it's hard for her because she wasn't there. She didn't see it, but she's just trying to treat everybody the same. And she says, Mariah, you know I love you, girl, but Bria brought you up as a problem, and I have to handle it the best way I know how. And we think that going home might be the best thing for you. Mariah takes it, like, very somberly, I would say. She says in a confessional that she's extremely shocked and wonders, like I was wondering, why Jasmine would be so comfortable having conversations about her without her there. They end up breaking up for the night, going back to their bed. And it's just like kind of a sad thing. So then later, because it seems like maybe people went hot tubbing after the situation, because a lot of them are in bathing suits, but we didn't see any footage of this. So Shanice is in a bathing suit, and here's the situation. It seems like she and Preston have to share a bathroom, and it's not like a Jack and Jill situation. Like, there's a separation, like their bedrooms are on either side of the bathroom, but you have to, like, access it through your door, you know what I mean? Like, it's not connected to their rooms, just happens to be in between their rooms. So she goes, oh, she's in that upstairs space saying, like, oh, was somebody there? Because she heard somebody, and then she looks in that other room. She goes, oh, it's just you, Preston. And she was like, oh, I thought it was Amir. And then she kind of says, like, I want to fuck him. I want to fuck Amir. So then she tells Preston, I'm about to hop in the shower, but if you need anything, just come in. Don't worry about it. And he's like, no, I'm about to go to bed. But then Amir knocks on that bathroom door. And Shanice is like, oh, I'm in here. Who is it? And when he says, it's Amir, she's like, oh, no, come in. And he's like, no, like, it's cool. So he goes into Preston's room to sit down. They're, like, you know, making a little small talk, right? So then Shanice comes out of the bathroom, nothing, with a blue thong on and a smile. And she's like, who just knocked? Who knocked on the door? And when Amir's like, me? She's like, oh, are you trying to shower? Okay, don't worry, it's just boobs. Just boobs. I'll be done in like 10 minutes. Sorry for the boobies. And they're like, oh, you know, it's okay. So when she goes in the bathroom, Amir looks at the camera that they have in the corner of this bedroom. And he goes, did you see that? Did you guys get that? Just give me a nod if you guys got that. And the camera starts nodding up and down. Probably one of the best fourth wall breaks in all of Bravo history. Amir says in a confessional, I know that 21-year-old Amir would see this opportunity that's in front of him, but I have a crush on Jordan, and sleeping with her best friend in the same house is not going to win me any brownie points. Wow, if only all men could realize that. So the next morning, Amir goes into the little guest house to check on Mariah before she leaves, and he's like, listen, I feel bad, but at the same time, Bria didn't feel comfortable, and that's something that the house makes have to take seriously. But Bria says in a confessional that she feels really embarrassed about Phil, and the Phil she knows took her under his wing, claimed her as a sister, but she does not know who this person is. So then Jasmine and Mariah have, like, another emotional meeting before Mariah leaves, and they're hugging and just talking about how difficult it is. Meanwhile, Shanice is out by the pool, calling Phil with Bria, saying, hey, all you have to do was apologize. That was a lot. Why does Mariah have to leave? But he just gets to apologize when he, like, thoroughly pissed everybody off? Phil's response to that is what? Like, what's a big deal? Shitting in somebody's bathroom? That's hilarious. That's really funny. And then he refuses to apologize. He's like, fuck you guys, bye, and hangs up on them. So then Mariah's got to take her little neck pack and go and be like, you know, I'm really mourning my friendships because not only did they take Bria's side, they forgot who I really am. And so she ends up leaving, and Jasmine cries again. I will say that I saw on Preston's Twitter, perhaps, that he said he's still friends with Mariah, loves her down. There were things that we did not see that made him feel like she should go, in addition to, or maybe he didn't feel like the Bria situation was that big of a deal, but, like, there was other stuff going on that he didn't want to, like, blow up her spot about. He was like, she probably should have left. So I will say that. So everybody's getting on with their morning. We're making breakfast. Amir's somehow procured a ladder so that he can fix his drapes. And Jasmine makes a comment about how, like, Amir's always doing something. He's always up to something. He's sauteing on a pan. He's got the ladder out. And then Amir goes, yeah, and I'm also, like, low-key adding the wrong laundry in and starting an entire house fight. Amir? So Jordan goes, did you put the dog shit in with the clothes? And he's like, yeah, I mean, I just threw stuff in there. And then when they ask, why didn't you say anything? He's like, well, it was too far gone. Then he claims that he tried to say something. And we see a flashback to this argument where Jasmine's trying to figure out what happened. Because she's, like, coming in the middle of this fight, right? And he's behind everybody, like, kind of raising his hand. Like, oh, I got something to say. But, like, literally, nobody's even facing his direction. So this little quarter-up hand that you've got going here, nobody's seeing it. And then he just, like, well, oh well, gives up. Now, Amir, you could have squashed this whole thing, not had Mariah get kicked out of the house, not had all this thing kick up between the two women, or any of the women. Jasmine's in tears every 10 minutes. Why did he do this? Why did he not speak up? Because that would have been the end of it. Ah, that's not good. I hope he apologized to Mariah for that. And also, like, now that I'm really thinking about it, like, that's a check. She's a single mother. That sucks. He should give her some of his check. Later that day, they decide to have, like, a field day at the beach, but before they leave, Alex decides to pull up his list of affirmations on his phone and do his little mantras, like, I have complete access to creative genius. Is that an affirmation? Okay. Then he says that there was a point in his life where he was a fuckboy who was dishonest in order to get what he wanted, and that what he realized is that he needed to give himself grace, because unless you do that, you're always going to hurt somebody else. Y'all see why I have a problem with hippies? What does that mean? You have to be nicer to yourself so you're not shitty to other people? Okay. What are you giving yourself grace with? Giving yourself grace in order to not hurt other people. I don't understand that. Maybe what he was trying to say is, like, I used to be bad to myself, and so therefore I treated other people poorly, and so I had to, like, give myself the grace to be kind to myself before I could give that to others. That would make sense. Not what he said, but that's what would make sense to me. So then he comes out of his meditation. He comes out of his meditation, looks straight at Shanice, and tells her, personal space, Shanice. That's what I'm watching with you, because you don't know personal space, and you were grabbing me last night. The flashback that we see from the dinner was, like, they were talking. It seems like there was, like, a group lively conversation. Maybe she was trying to, like, oh, get his attention. And she kind of, like, grabbed his wrist. But, like, not in, like, a, ugh, I don't know, whatever. He felt some type of way about it. I don't really like to be touched like that either, but okay. To me, though, why are you saying this? Like, because they're all pulling around waiting to go to the beach. Why are you saying that in front of other people? Like, oh, like, and the way he said it was like, you need to watch your personal space. And it, to me, it's just very, like, othering. Very, like, finger waggy and very, like, intentionally embarrassing and making her seem like a fucking creep in front of people, you know? Especially if you're not explaining what the issue is. So then, Alex says in a confessional that Shanice is technically his type, but he's heard and seen things that he just doesn't feel like it's his business to talk about. So then they're getting in the car, and it's like the guys and girls are in separate cars. And so Shanice is telling the girls in the car what happened and what he said. And Jordan is annoyed with Alex, as she should be, because she's like, well, whatever his issue is, he should have brought it up with you in the moment, because you don't have a chance to rectify it unless he does. And then now you're insecure because he's not telling you anything. So now you're, like, in your head, how long has he been thinking about this? What has he said to other people? What is he feeling? What's the issue? Right? Like, in your mind. So then Amir tells the guys in the guys' car that he saw Shanice's boobs and how she was trying to have a conversation with her top off, but, you know, worse things have happened. So Silas asks, is there a reason why you're not pursuing Shanice? But Amir's like, well, I'm trying to go for Jordan. So Silas is like, okay, does anybody else want to say that they're attracted to Jordan? We want to just put that all out on the table? And Alex is like, well, I think we are. To which Silas says, Alex, you have to understand why I'm a little taken aback when you say that you're into somebody, right? So Amir asks, like, okay, how do you get to know a woman? Like, why is he saying that? Is it based on, like, an intellectual connection first? And he says yes. And then they all kind of agree that he's a sapiosexual. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I mean, it's like attracted to somebody's mind, right? But I think, or my understanding is that it could be anybody. It's not like I'm only attracted to women that are intelligent. That isn't a sapiosexual. That's just you liking smart women. After that, Nick says that he and Jordan had an instant brother-sister vibe. And Silas is like, really? If she was thrown at you, you wouldn't catch it? Nick says no, and all the guys are like, no, that's cap. I don't believe that for one second. Nick says, you can say if you're whatever you want, guys, but, like, ultimately, it's what I would want to do. And Silas is like, all right, cap. Silas then says in a confessional that he's never seen Nick shoot his shot in person. He'll slide into a DM, clearly, but when it comes to, like, face-to-face, he just doesn't really do anything. And then Alex says in a confessional that there's something that he feels like Nick is ruminating on. And a producer asks Nick in a confessional, is there anything that you're not telling people? He just sits there. And then they ask Alex the same thing, and he says, I'm not really clear on what Nick wants, but I think he's being intellectually dishonest right now. Then everybody has a field day. Nick and Alex go for a walk in the beginning, and Nick tells him he's just, like, getting really tired of everybody asking him how he's feeling about different girls in the house, if he's feeling Jordan or Shanice. And Alex says, well, I don't think anybody really is doing that except for Silas. And so Nick says, well, I feel like Silas wants another couple in the house to hang out with, which is fair, but I'm about to drop a bomb. Elsewhere on the beach, Bria's telling Shanice, you need to have a talk with Alex and figure out what's going on. And she's like, you need to do it. I've really never known you to be confrontational, but this needs to be the time. So before the games begin, Jasmine actually gives us a really beautiful, well, dark, well, I don't want to use that word either, enriching history of the beach that they're on, Inkwell Beach, and how this was, like, the first black, predominantly black beach in the area, and how the white residents, or visitors, would call it Inkwell Beach because the black people look like little dots of ink on the beach. So, thanks. Cool, guys. I will say, however, Amir does win me over, legitimately, with his excitement about being black and educating and learning the history. Because he says in a confessional, you know, he grew up in Texas. They just give you a very general history, according to him. There's, like, not real black history happening. So to be here on the beach, talking with black people about black history is just like, wow, I'm part of this. It's like, he really seems to, like, want to absorb the community. And I appreciate that he does, or that he at least seems to. Now, y'all know I don't care about sports, but it is worth mentioning that during a field game, they were doing picking teams, you know, classic middle school style. And Jasmine got picked last. And even then, it seemed like a difficult choice between her and Milo. And that's sad. That's sad for her. After the game, Amir makes Alex take some thirst traps of him running down the beach until he ends up stepping on a shell and hurting himself. And then after that, he decides, okay, maybe I need to put in some time with Jordan for a little one-on-one talk. So he starts to tell us about his playbook, which is a play-by-play book on what it takes to win over the most attractive woman that you want. Number one, keep flirting. But Make it discreet, because if there's no vibe, you got to be able to pull it back and be cute about that. Honestly, don't know if we went to number two. Didn't hear anything. They had a conversation and he got real confused about her, Jordan, saying that she sleeps with socks on. That really seemed to be the end of the playbook. So anyway, after that, we finally have this conversation with Shanice and Alex. Clearly, Shanice is very nervous because she sits down and is like, so, what's his personal space thing? Like, that was awkward, wasn't it? Like, when you said that this morning, and I was like, whoa, guess I'm not going to talk to you today or say anything. Like, ooh, bye, ha, ooh, you know, because, like, I'm trying to respect you. And Alex was like, yeah, got it. Nothing. Then he says in a confessional, I can tell that Shanice is a sweet person, but the night before, I was sent an article. So we need to get into this, because the screen pops up and it says something like, oh, insecure star has a stalker ex-girlfriend or whatever. So I found this article from blacksportsonline.com. Now, Alex said that he did see this guy talk about it on The Breakfast Club, I guess, but the major outlets were not discussing this. We'll say that. So here we'll go. The article says, actor Norman Townes, who was known for having parts in Insecure and The Affair, is going through a breakup right now, and it's really nasty. He uploaded the details on his Instagram, and I feel bad for him, because it would seem that now his now ex, Shanice Jordan, is stalking him, like, big time. Townes says that he broke up with her after he saw a message of her saying that she slept with him one night, someone else the next night, and was planning on sleeping with an NFL player the night after, and she isn't taking the breakup well. He says that he doesn't know what to do because he's blocked her on all of her social media, had to change his number, and that she sent explicit pictures to companies that he's working with. She's sleeping outside of his house. She made fake accounts in his name, sending food to his door, constantly emailing him every day. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. He provided evidence. And what I'm looking at right now is a call log in which it seems like he had her listed as stalker or Shanice Jordan. And then he listed all these numbers that were just, you know, out there in the open. So I don't know. Of the call log, it seems like, oh, here's a video. Hold on one second. Okay, so this was not a screenshot. It's actually a video of a screen recording that he took. And it says in the beginning, it's an Instagram story. Block her number, they said. These are all the fake numbers. Mind you, I never blocked a number before. And he's just like scrolling. And scrolling. This is a, he's scrolling for about 45 seconds of all the numbers that I called her. Random numbers. It looked like she maybe found like Google numbers or something. Like, I'm seeing all different types of area codes and stuff like that. So then the next one is, an Instagram story of him saying, I was dating a woman named Shanice, Miss Shanice Jordan, and I broke it off for reasons I'll keep private out of respect for her, but it just didn't work out. Unfortunately, she hasn't taken our breakup well and has been harassing me to the point where I don't know what to do. I blocked her on all socials and had to change my number. She sent explicit numbers. Okay, that's just basically what I said. But then he goes, you know, if any of my followers have been through something similar with a man or woman and have helpful advice, I would love some. The police haven't been as helpful. Thanks in advance. This is deep. And then he posts a screenshot of her Instagram, and it says, this is who is harassing me and others. I have pressed full charges against her, so it's all going to work out, but I'll share the story here. And yeah, then he's just like more screenshots that he said, I randomly saw this message on her computer, and it's between her and this guy named Aaron, where she says, I just fucked Norman last night, tonight Jordan, and tomorrow there's this NFL player in town that I'm seeing, SMH, I need to go home. And the person goes, you wildin'. She goes, yeah, I know, nothing new though. And then she goes, it would be weird for me to not be doing this, LOL. And that person says, very true. Yeah. Then there's more messages that she sent. One says, HBO is the the title and the message says, I swear to God, if you don't reply and keep ignoring me, I'll fuck your career up since you want to ignore me. I'm fucking your shit up. You keep ignoring me, not stopping. Fucking your shit up. Since you want to ignore me, I'm fucking your shit up. I'm sending HBO everything you want to treat me like, and then it kind of cuts off. And then there's another message that says, I'm not leaving your apartment. I'm not leaving your place. Why was, clearly this person's name is Taylor at your place. And then he says, they're just like messages and they look like 1224, 1255, 1259, a couple ones after that. Yeah. So it's not great. It's not great evidence. I will say that in Shanice's favor, but a producer then asked Shanice in a confessional, what's the situation with you and your ex? And it's almost like she short-circuited. Like, she just stares like, Then she finally says, I dated my ex for a year. He's an up-and-coming actor, using air quotes. And he was coming up with these, like, lies on Instagram story, and they went out on the blog. So then Jasmine says that when Shanice broke up with this dude, Norman, she thinks that Norman just wanted revenge, and he was saying things where, like, she was threatening and stalking and all this stuff. And then the Bria says that those rumors are not true. Shanice is not that person. Cut to Shanice back in the confessional, being like, I'm not gonna lie, I did do some of those things, like call him. But then Jasmine says, but if he doesn't answer the phone call, of course it's gonna say 18 missed calls. Jasmine, you're not helping. And then Shanice says, listen, he tried to press charges, but they wouldn't give him a restraining order because he was still texting me. And then Alex comes around and says, well, he just doesn't think that Shanice has the type of vibe that he wants to be around. Now, listen, I am getting the vibe that Shanice is a little bit unhinged. However, Alex is giving dry. Okay, so, like, I don't know why he keeps acting like he's the prize, and because you heard this one story on, like, Black Sports Online, or somebody sent you a link that, like, you need to be treating her this weird, especially if you're not going to say what the issue is. That's rude, you know? After that, they decide to pack things up, because too many geese end up on the beach, and they're like, we're not doing this, we're out. So, they go back home for, like, family steak dinner, and it's like everybody's contributing, right? Preston's going to be making the mac and cheese. And so he's asking him, like, what's your process, right? So Amira's like, so what do you do with your mac and cheese? Do you do like a breadcrumb? Or like, Preston's like, no, I'm black. Okay. And then Amira goes, okay, well, do you do crackers? And Preston goes, what was that? Like more of a pun? No. Preston says in a confessional, let's be clear. Breadcrumbs on mac and cheese is a surefire way to never be invited into a black ass home ever again. I have to make an admission. I have made mac and cheese with a breadcrumb. However, this was by myself, okay? And it was Ina Garden, who I know and love and trust, my other biological mother. And I was, like I said, I was by myself. Would I have ever brought that to, again, my black ass home? No. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. But I have had mac and cheese with a breadcrumb, and it's not bad. It's not bad. So then Amir tells everybody that his mom's version of mac and cheese is just Velveeta. And they're like, girl, bye. But I think he was joking, because he did say that he grew up being a picky eater. Because of that, his mom enrolled him in these cooking camps, which was like the best thing. I didn't even know you could do that. I'm like, gonna have a kid so I can send them to cooking camp. That sounds dope. Is that what those kids on MasterChef Junior be doing? Is that how they get good? I don't watch that show. Anyway, this is why I love black people. And this is why I appreciate this show. This is like a culture that I think, a cultural moment that I think if you're black, you get it. The girls who get it if you don't know. This is how black people will roast you. And I really, really appreciate it. First of all, Jordan and Amir are talking about the steaks because he's going to be cooking them, and they're talking about how like thick they are, and you know, how am I going to prepare them, and the juices being brought back into the steak. And Preston and Bria are just looking at them, like making it so obvious. They're holding each other and they're just staring at them like, oh, look at these two lovers in love. And it's so funny. I don't think other people can do that. And then later, Silas is in the kitchen yelling, hey, baby, to Jasmine. And everybody, the whole house is like, dog, you say that every 4 minutes. And then they all start screaming, baby, baby. But he takes it, and it's all love. Like, this is just how we joke with each other. You just call them out. We're all laughing. We're all kikiing, and it's all love. Like, if this happened in the Hamptons, tears, crying, screaming, throwing up. Like, if this were my family, and I think this happens in, like, every Black family, there's at least one person who can sing and is also very funny. Don't let us find a harmony or rhyme to what you did. Because we roast you, and then all of a sudden, we're singing some sort of gospel-themed cover about whatever fucked up shit you did. And it's the funniest thing. God, I love Black people. And I love this show. Anyway, Jasmine and the girls start talking about how, like, they're going to be planning a boys' night, girls' night. Maybe we'll get together at the end, right? But all the girls are like, nah, like, y'all don't understand how we women party, right? And so Jordan's like, well, what does a guy's night entail? And Amir says, well, no, you go first. And Jordan very slyly, sarcastically goes, well, I know we're not going to be staying out until like 3 or 4 in the morning, are we, Silas? Right? And so Silas goes, I thought we were in a good place, Jordan. As long as you bring her home before 3 a.m., I'm good. So then Jasmine and the girls start talking about, like, you know, y'all don't get it for real. We used to work in the club, okay? We're going to be throwing ass in a circle, popping bottles, free drinks. And Silas immediately is like, no free drinks. Nope, not happening. So Jasmine's like, why? I don't really see an issue with that. And Silas says, well, if you accept a free drink from a wrong guy, they're going to take it the wrong way. But Jasmine's like, I think you guys are just intimidated. And that's fine. That's fine. Silas says in a confessional, exactly what we've all been thinking, he has no idea how Jasmine is around her friends because their relationship has barely got its sea legs. They dated, they were hot and heavy, probably only hanging out with each other, quarantined with each other for 6 months before they got engaged. He doesn't know what it's like when she's stumbling in from the club. He doesn't know when she's having girls' night like normal because they met April of 2020. Like, were they living in New York at that time? They weren't going anywhere. Like, you couldn't even go to Starbucks. Couldn't go to, like, a fast food place. Like, people barely in the streets. Like, you weren't going anywhere. Anywhere. So, he doesn't know this Jasmine. Jasmine with her friends. Which is his problem. So, anyway, then it becomes this thing of, like, Shanice is like, oh, yeah, Jasmine, this one, she likes to get drunk. And she kind of alludes to a situation. But then everybody's like, oh, but Silas already knows that. And Silas is like, I know, what do I know? So we find out that according to Shanice, Jasmine passed out at work once. So Jasmine explains she and Shanice were working that night, but they decided to go to a party in Brooklyn before their job in Manhattan. But then they decided to go to another party, never go to a second location. And it was that. Shanice says Jasmine passed out on her shoulder snoring. But Jasmine says, they're telling two different stories. Jasmine says Shanice is the one who got sent home, but she was able to pull it together because she doesn't play with her coin. But then Shanice says, we definitely got fired from the Playboy Club. It was a mess. So Silas is like, okay, I didn't know about that. And then they go back in the bathroom, or bedroom rather, and, like, he's trying to have a conversation with her, right? So everybody's like, okay, Preston, you're Silas's line brother. You guys went to college together. What was he like before this relationship? And Preston's like, honestly, I don't really see much of a difference. But all the other girls are like, oh, well, Jasmine is, like, completely different. We've seen a totally different side of Jasmine since she got married. Jordan says in a confessional, I don't think that Silas realizes the Jasmine pre-pandemic. She's struggling. And frankly, I am too, because what are we going to do? Go to tea parties? No. Thank you, next. So then Jasmine in the bedroom kind of blanks Silas in the moment, like, I'm not going to talk about this right now. But then she heads over into the truth booth and says, marriage is bittersweet. Honestly, the idea, like, am I going to be doing this decade after decade after decade? It does scare me.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're 3 months in, babe. Uh-oh. So then Preston starts talking about how he is in a different position in his relationships, being a gay man, because, you know, there's not this narrative of one person needs to be protective over the other in the way that Silas is doing to Jasmine. And Amir says, yeah, there are actually a lot of women in Texas who would say that, like, if their man wasn't behaving like Silas was, that they would actually be very upset about it. So then we start talking about types. Jordan asks Nick, who is your type? And he says, my preference is black women, but I'm kind of seeing somebody. And then everybody is like, oh, is that your girlfriend? And he says, yes, feels good to get it out. So everybody in the moment is like, oh, cool. Why was this a bomb? I know why it's a bomb. Because Bria says in a confessional, are you kidding? You're seeing somebody, but you've been in my DMs, Jordan and Shanice's DMs. And then Jordan says in a confessional, oh, so the fire emojis in my DMs. Okay. And then Shanice says in a confessional, wait, Nick has a girlfriend? Before coming in the house, Nick sent me a DM saying he wanted to marry me. And then I laughed and he said, don't laugh. And then I said, I'm sorry, I just don't really know you very well. And he says, well, you will soon. Why not just say you have a girlfriend? That's just the fuckboy you are. Why did he keep this? I need to know the timelines of his relationship and these DMs. Because the way the women are presenting it, that he was DMing it, like, it sounded like he found out that they were all going to be on the show together. He was looking at their IGs and was like, oh, let me plant some seeds before we get into this house. And then that didn't happen. I also find it very interesting how they presented him having a girlfriend as the big news. Like, they made it sound like Nick has a secret. I don't think, Alex, like you said, I don't think he's being intellectually honest right now. Why is it that we don't see Nick actually hitting on girls? Like, I thought we were going in a very different direction. But I guess that's not the case. I'm very interested in seeing where we go with this. What was Nick thinking? What was any of us thinking? Anyway, what was Danielle thinking? Let's move on to Hamptons.
Come on! I have been through every single breakup that you've ever had.
You're right.
And you don't think that I want you to be happy?
But do you want to know why?
Then
because
why?
The second that I started dating Carl, you said no.
If you see it from that perspective, Lindsay, you are so wrong. You don't think that I would have put everything aside and been there with fireworks for you?
Oh, because you've proven otherwise this summer, Danielle?
I would have done everything for you. Everything!
I'm sure.
Don't look at me with your smug face right now.
Why are you yelling at me? I don't.
Because you don't get it.
I do.
You don't
get
how much I care for you. And the fact
no,
that
I don't. Because of how you've treated me this summer, I don't.
For this summer? I've been here for you for a year.
All right, y'all. Let's get into the finale of Summer House. I mean, listen, I think the vast majority of us thought we were going to be in a very different place emotionally with regard to everything that went down with Danielle and Lindsay. And I have feelings and I will express them. So let's get into it. Start off the episode. Carl and Lindsay are back in the house for the final night, And, you know, it is. Kyle's very shocked. Carl says to Kyle, personally, I just want you to know, like, for me, I do appreciate you being supportive the other night. Because when they left to go to Southampton Social and that in the parking lot, and Kyle was just like, oh, what am I, like, chopped liver? Thank you. Thank you for that. So Kyle says to him, I really hope that you understand that I was just doing my best to try to help you see the other side. And Carl says, I appreciate that, but last week really cut me to my core. And I feel like I was made out to be this bad guy when I went out of my way and I just needed some space. So Kyle says, I totally get it. I get the space, but in a way, things did kind of become a bigger deal than what it could have been. Lindsay tells Kyle, totally, I hear you, but Carl's mental health is what comes first. That's the most important thing. If he needed a day, that's what we did. We got away. Carl says in a confessional that this summer, it's just been like a constant questioning of his actions, his behavior, how he's changing. And at that point, he had just had enough. And some of his closest friendships have been toxic, and he's had to just do what he had to do. And if that means taking a little break for a night, then so be it. But he also wants to be able to show his face because he loves, and I quote, most of the people in the house. It's like, well, let's be more specific. Can't, shall we? Anyway, Kyle suggests to the both of them, you need to talk to Danielle. And Lindsay's like, I'm happy to talk to her, but I'm not sure about Carl. And Kyle says, okay, I just suggest that you maybe have your talk a little bit sooner than later. So then we get started for the party. And Lindsay is doing this thing where I'm like, oh, okay, Danielle should have picked up on this immediately. Because she's calling all over the house for Gabby, Gabby, Gabby. Where's Gabby? I need you. Gabby, please remember that you need to help me with my outfit. Gabby, how are you? Gabby. Oh, I'm so excited to see you. Gabby, even though you're in the same room with Danielle. Gabby, I love you. If I had seen that and I was Danielle, I would have been like, okay, bet. I know what it is. She didn't get that indication. Why? I'm not sure. Because Danielle is looking at this in a confessional like, great, they're back. Like, this is a time or an opportunity that possibly we can, like, turn things around. I want them to finish the summer out with us, so I'm feeling very hopeful. Lindsay says in a confessional, which I feel like people didn't really, I don't know. I felt like this hit my eardrum a little bit harder than maybe other people's. But she says in a confessional, now mind you, she just said to Kyle, Carl's mental health is what's more important. And so if we need to leave, we got to leave. And that's it. But she says in a confessional that Carl doesn't take well to disappointing people because he's a people pleaser. And if he can't please everybody, it affects his whole self-esteem. And she's just like, yo, you can't run away when the going gets tough because that's not how life works. You can have a day, and I'll support you in that, but then we're going back. These are the little things where I'm like, Danielle does maybe have a little bit of a point here. Because to feel like what I would be getting, and granted, I am a sensitive Sally. If that were me, if I were Carl, and I saw my partner being like, well, she's a people pleaser. It just like completely throws her off the rails if she can't please everybody. And like, you know, you can't just run away. I just find it hard to square his mental health is most important to like, you're a people pleasing pussy, basically. And like, I'll support you, but only for a day. You only get 24 hours and then you got to get your shit together. Like, does she tell him this is what I want to know? Or does she just like, let it annoy her? We have to give a shout out to Sierra for fully committing to yet another costume by doing full blue face makeup to go with her avatar, her seemingly sexy avatar onesie. I don't know. But she looked great. I miss Karma Brown, but whatever this avatar version is, I appreciate the commitment and the fact that the ears kept falling off basically the whole episode. So Sierra's main storyline is like her digging around in the backyard for her ear. Her other ear. So then Oliver shows up to the party. Maya hits him with a real cold Duggar style side hug and says in a confessional that after she got that weird DM, she kind of asked Oliver about it via text and he glossed over it. So she thought it was kind of weird, but she's trying to make the best of things. Like, it's the last weekend. And then she's like, you know, I want to just enjoy myself, but this is a private situation between Oliver and I, and we'll discuss it when it's time. And with that, I think Maya made a very big mistake. Huge. If she wants to be on this show, I think she just made a mistake. Sam is in the kitchen with her boyfriend. Well, he takes a shot and he spits it into her mouth like true romance. Sam says in a confessional, I feel like we're on the same page and we're connecting on real levels now. Like, this is no longer pull my hair, spit in my mouth. This is like, maybe this could go to the distance. That's crazy. Yeah, it is, Sam. Anyway, Danielle is speaking to her friends, like her off the show friends that are at this party, about how she needs to approach talking to Carl and Lindsay. And she tells them, the thing is, Carl's been saying that he doesn't want to return to the house with, like, toxic negativity. And I'm feeling like, if that's how you feel about me, dude, like, you don't know me. He's never known me. Then Craig starts having a little conversation with Amanda about moving in. What was it like for you and Kyle? Where were you guys at in your relationship? And she says, well, I told Kyle, like, I didn't want to move in unless we were engaged. So Craig asks, how do you think I can get closer to engagement to Paige from where we are now? And Amanda says, I just think you guys need to spend like longer stretches of time together, like really make it seem like you guys are living together. And so Craig tells her, I just feel like we're nervous because what if it doesn't work out? Like, and she's like, yeah, well, that's what it is. Like, you date until you get married or you break it up. That's the rule. So shit starts getting a little bit weirder with Maya and Oliver because they're over at the, well, Oliver is talking to some random, looks like a school teacher with a maxi skirt on at the outdoor bar, right? Just a whatever conversation. At one point she asks, what's your name? They're just talking about, you know, just innocuous stuff. He introduces himself. They shake hands. Maya clearly is like laser focused on everything that Oliver is doing, and she goes, Oliver, get over here. So he gets over there and she's like, what are you even doing right now? What's even going on? Sierra asks, are you okay, girl? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then she grabs Oliver to like a desolate part of the backyard and she asks him, are you mic'd up? He says yeah. She's like, okay, well, never mind, but can you stop mingling with other women, please? And he's like, yeah. And then she walks away, mumbling, fuck Oliver. So here's my question. Was this ever addressed? Why is he here if you're so mad at him? Why is he here? Why would he feel comfortable coming? Why would you let him through the door? I can't imagine getting a weird ass DM from some random person being like, are you an Oliver exclusive? And not calling him, just sending like a text and he glosses it over. Like, what did you say to him? And what did he say in response? And also, like, I just feel like, okay, if I'm not getting a clear answer as to whether or not you hooked up with somebody else while we were together, then maybe I'll talk to you when we're back in the city and I'm going to enjoy my weekend at the show that I'm on and not give you any camera time. If you really wanted this shit to be private, why didn't you just wait like 24 hours to talk about this when you guys get back home? I'm not understanding. Maya's behavior is very strange this whole episode. And I'm thinking what's happening is a combination of trying to hold it all together while she's falling apart. And because of that, she's overcompensating. She's trying to have the most fun. She's probably drinking a little bit too much. And then it's coming out in these like weird ways that don't make sense to other people. And then you're like trying to have this conversation, but then realize that you're on a television show. And then you're like, okay, we got to stop. And then you keep coming back to him with this stuff. And it's just not making sense to me. Like, tell him to leave. Tell him to leave so you can enjoy yourself. It's not like it even makes sense for him to be there, really. I mean, nobody would miss him. He's been a non-motherfucking factor this whole season. So it's not like, oh my god, this finale would have been missing Oliver. I'm not understanding, like, what is going on here? Why is he here? But anyway, Craig ends up taking Paige aside, and he tells her, I just spoke to Amanda, and, you know, I'm starting to understand our relationship more. And so Paige says to him, I just kind of feel like you are putting a lot of pressure on our relationship. And he says, well, here's the thing. I want to have kids in 5 years. She says, me too. And he says, in order to get that, I need to get married. In order to do that, I need to get engaged. In order to do that, I need to start moving in with somebody. So really, like, now really is sort of the time where we at least need to have very serious conversations about this, right? So Paige says, I get that. I just feel like you get scared that if we don't hit these certain benchmarks at a time, then you think I'm just going to run away from you. But let me tell you, the last time I had this conversation about where are we going with an ex-boyfriend, I broke out into hives. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. I'm here. Like, I know in my gut that this is the right thing for me. So I'm just not feeling it. The pressure, the way that you are. And so basically she tells him, I think the next step for us is we need to be at a place where, like, if you need to be in Charleston, I need to be there with you. If I need to be in New York, you need to be there with me. And so she asked him, like, do you want to move in? He says, okay, yeah, next time I'm going to bring a couple of big bags with me and whatever. They ride off into the sunset. But what I was hearing, and you tell me if you're picking up what I'm putting down, is Paige basically just saying, cleverly, let's just agree to be on each other's shows. Let's make the commitment to where if I need to be in New York, you're with me. And if you need to be in Charleston, I'm using air quotes here, then I'm with you. And I think Craig took that as like, oh, I'm moving in. And I think Paige is just like, yeah, I'll give you a drawer. We can do that. Amanda and Kyle have a brief talk about, like, Lindsay and Danielle and their state yet, whether or not they've talked. And Amanda's like, no, they haven't. But I do feel like Danielle's really willing to work on things. To which Kyle says, yeah, I don't think Lindsay is. Not at all. Which is what I said a couple weeks ago when they went to that beach to do football, flag football. She was over. She was over it. She's been over it since before the engagement. Done. And so here's what I think is happening, right? So there were like some back and forth between Lindsay and Danielle, pretty much ending with the Rad House housewarming party, in which they were like, okay, well, let's just take a break. Now, if you guys watch Friends, I think people have very different definitions of what it is to take a break. And I hate to, like, repeat myself, but what I've said about Lindsay this whole time is that Lindsay lives in this black and white world in which take a break means we're taking a break and I'm cool on you. Whereas Danielle's thinking there's still an opportunity. And I feel like somewhere in Danielle's heart, probably pretty front in there, that she was like, there's a chance. The window's still open. I feel like Danielle this whole time, since that housewarming party, has been waiting on Lindsay to put some more stock in their friendship, as she said she was going to do. before that conversation. I think Danielle clearly has no idea that Lindsay left the station hours ago, weeks ago. She's on to Matrimony Street, and you're still hitting here at the friend station waiting for your friend to, like, pull up, and it's not happening. The train has left, and so is your friendship. So the showdown with Danielle and Lindsay begins with them drinking champagne with one of Danielle's friends and Jerez, that guy that Gabby was like, "You're a cancer. No, thank you." Something that you guys all shaded her on until Scandoval happened. And then we found out when his birthday was and we were like, well, Gabby, maybe you made a point on that one. So also Jerez had like a serious knife in his pants. Did you guys notice that? Like, I'm not using a euphemism. Like, he actually had a big ass knife tucked in his pants. Don't know why. So anyway, they all pour themselves like a glass of champagne and they cheers. And what Danielle uses this moment to be like, this is what I would have preferred the engagement to look like, because there's nothing more that I want to celebrate than I want to, is to celebrate your happiness. And I don't think you know that, Lindsay. And Lindsay goes, I don't. So Danielle says, I've been wanting to celebrate with you for a really long time. And Lindsay goes, okay, well, last Saturday was that opportunity. Danielle says, I absolutely agree with you. And Lindsay goes, yeah. So then Danielle tries to put out feelers there that she's been waiting for Lindsay to do something. She says, you know, I found out about your engagement like 30 minutes before that. And this is where it's over, because Lindsay goes, yeah, he didn't want anybody to ruin the surprise. But then Danielle says, you didn't think that that would ever hurt me? Danielle, again, no, because she's not an active participant in a proposal. And so Lindsay says to Danielle, I didn't think it would hurt you. What, a moment between best friends? Why would that ever hurt you? At this time, Amanda and Craig are coming downstairs. They can hear what's going on in the kitchen. So they're like, oh, let's go sit on that bench by the front foyer that Madonna's boyfriend was sitting at earlier this season, right? So that they can eavesdrop. So then here comes this conversation. And I think it'll be very clear, because I don't want to be like Danielle said, Lindsay said, Danielle, because it's about to go on for a couple minutes here. So I just trust and believe that you guys will know who's who, because if you watch the episode, Danielle is hysterical, basically. We're flirting with hysteria. Whereas Lindsay, flatline. Nothing. Nada. So I think you'll know by the voice who I'm referring to. I'm going to start off with Danielle saying, I thought I meant something to you. I thought you did too. And you didn't think that was going to hurt, that I was going to hurt from that? You didn't think that everything you said this summer was hurting me? So that's what you're thinking. Because I thought you guys were moving too fast, that you guys were just going to cut me out of this monumental part of your life? Correct. You think I don't want to be happy for you? That's fucking crazy. Correct. So now Amanda and Craig can see through the living room that Maya and Sierra are trying to get in through the kitchen. But they're like, no, 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 no. Hand under the neck, like, don't come here in here right now. So they're like, what the hell is going on? Why are they saying it? So Craig manages to sprint from the foyer to the living room out the back so that he can tell them they're having like a full on war here. They might swing at each other. Why Craig thought this was turning into celebrity deathmatch, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But then everybody's like, okay, let's run around to the side of the house and into the front door so that we don't disturb them, right? So back to Danielle. I have been through every single breakup you've had. You're right. And you don't think I want you to be happy? You want to know why? The second I started dating Carl, you said no. If you see it from that perspective, Lindsay, you are so wrong. You don't think that I would have put everything aside and put out the fucking fireworks for you? Well, you've proven me otherwise, Danielle, this summer. I would have done everything for fucking you. Everything. I'm sure. Don't you look at me with your fucking smug face right now. Why are you yelling at me? Because you don't get it. You don't get how much I fucking care for you. No, I don't. Because of how you treated me this summer, I don't. I was here for you for fucking years. And same. No. No. What is wrong with you? You're literally coming at with me with no emotion, and I can see it on your face. You don't give a shit about me. You don't give a shit about this friendship, and I'm not going to let you point the finger at me. Okay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So then Danielle says, look at your face right now. You don't care about me. I would take off the clothes off my back for you. And now I'm realizing I'm a fucking idiot for ever thinking that. What you're doing right now is exactly who you are. And now I see it as clear as day. It's the nail in the coffin. We're done. We've been done, sweetheart. Oh, sweetheart. Oh my God. Really? Okay. You're a monster. You're a monster. I'm not going to let you ruin my entire weekend. You already did that to my husband. Oh, your husband. What are you guys already fucking married now? Jesus Christ. You're not invited. I'm happily not invited. Lindsay walks out back into the backyard. Danielle rounds the corner to find Maya, Craig, Amanda are all in the foyer. And she immediately is like, on the ground, like you would have thought somebody fucking died. Maya, and this is where I'm saying Maya's getting a little strange for me, smiling while she's hugging Danielle. It's okay, Danielle, we're all here for you. And Sierra's like, you know, we were listening, we were trying to give you the space to let you do your thing and talk to her, but we're also here when you came out of it. And Danielle's like, this is exactly what I needed. I needed this. And Maya's like, yeah, like, what are we on, Fast and the Furious? This is what friendship looks like. This is family. This is what it looks like, Danielle. Friendship. And at this point, this is where I have to, like, kind of break down where I think is what I think is going on emotionally and why I do feel empathy for Danielle. It's really hard to watch somebody have so much emotion towards somebody who's giving you nothing, even if it's justified. And they're just like, it's just hard to watch when somebody's like, I think we still got stuff here, and the other person is done and has been for a long time, and they're now realizing in real time all this hope that you had for this relationship to be fixed has been over. It's been over. And in that regard, I do find it sad, and I do feel empathy for Danielle, but I also feel like it's very clear that Danielle has no perspective on her participation in how their friendship got to where it is. I do ultimately, and I will say, and I think this is a hot take, that Lindsay didn't take as much responsibility for her participation or lack thereof in their friendship, because she admitted it to Danielle and said, I'm gonna work harder on asking you what you need, trying to be there for you, trying to like check in on you emotionally, blah blah blah. She admitted that. And so I don't lose sight of that, but I also feel like Danielle has not communicated with Lindsay well at all. And I don't want to say like she deserves this, but I see how we got here, and it makes me sad that she doesn't. It makes me sad that she doesn't seem to understand how she got here. So then Lindsay tells Carl outside that Danielle started by toasting her, and it sounded like they were going to have a civil conversation. She just kept it clean and calm, and Danielle hated that she was so chill and she couldn't deal with it. So then she goes, oh, you know, she said I had such a smug face, and I was like, yeah, I shut it down. I stopped caring when somebody treats me the way you did. Because she was the one who abandoned the friendship. And she's not smart enough. Danielle is not smart enough to understand that. And Carl just looks away and says, yeah. And this is a point where I have to say again that I do feel like Carl doesn't want to express to Lindsay that he has maybe a little bit more grace, or maybe he's seeing the situation a little bit differently than she is, but he can't say that because that's his partner now and he already knows it's over. And so it's like, well, I'm just gonna say yeah. I don't think he fully is on her side, you guys. I just don't. Now, I also don't think he's happy with Danielle. Like, that's very clear. That's very obvious. But I think that Carl is also probably somebody who navigates his life or his emotions kind of similarly to Danielle. And so he sees like, oh, she's having a hard time expressing what she really needs and what she wants. And there's clearly other things going on in her life that are unsatisfactory, you know, whatever. They're not fulfilling her. And I think he feels empathy for her in that regard. But he's also like, I see where Lindsay's coming from. Inside, Danielle's telling everybody, you know, the fact that we've all come so far and you guys are here in this moment, like, it's just pure love. And Danielle says, let them have each other. Let them just have each other. And I'm always going to be happy for them, but I guess it's just going to be from further away than I thought. And then she says, like, I'm going to take a minute and, like, try to, you know, rally or whatever. So, here's the other thing. Like, Danielle, you did say when Maya and Sam were talking to you about the fact that there might be an engagement, you stomped off and were like, well, I'm not going to be here next weekend if that's happening. So I don't think you can really believably say. And also, when you say things like they can just have each other, there's only one way to interpret that, you know? That means, like, fuck them. Fuck them. They chose each other. They can just have each other. They deserve it, right? So to also be like, oh, you know, I was going to be happy for them. No, you weren't. We saw it. Not at one point in this process have you been truly happy for them. Maybe at the housewarming? That's about it. Kyle ends up finding Craig sitting by himself. And Craig's like, well, I'm just here because, like, inside's a war zone, dude. Like, there's no safe place to be. He's acting like it turned into Fallujah over there. It didn't. So then he's like, you know, he says again, I thought they were going to swing at each other. And Kyle's like, oh, shit. And he tells him, like, oh, you know, they're talking about how she wasn't invited to the wedding. And Kyle's like, fuck. So Craig goes, dude, Lindsay's like a good fighter, dude. So Kyle's like, that's the thing. Lindsay can be completely wrong and still end up right. So then Kyle starts playing, or Craig rather, starts playing producer, and he's like, go over there and talk to Lindsay and Carl about what's going on. So Kyle shuffles over there because he's got this like inflatable tiger costume. So he's shuffling over there, and I noticed that Carl was trying not to laugh as he walked up because Lindsay's like clearly trying to have a serious conversation with him. But again, this is where I'm thinking, like, I don't think he's fully on Team Hub House here. Kyle goes up to them and he tries to figure out what's going on, but instead of asking Lindsay, who was there and directly involved in the fight, he keeps asking Carl what is going on. So Lindsay, again, pretty chill, but you could tell she was annoyed. Like, okay, I'm going to leave so you guys can talk about this. So Carl says, I just don't know where we go from here because there's like a love and a history with Danielle. But the problem for me personally is that I think there are a lot of things that Danielle is struggling with internally, and it's just hard. So Kyle says, do you think there's a world where they're not friends? And Carl says, yeah, totally. And it's really sad to see because I didn't think coming into this summer that that would be the one friendship that was going to derail. I thought it would be us two. Quite a sketch, but anyway. Inside, Danielle's asking Maya and her friend, how do you guys read that? Do you think I took things too far? Both of them say no. Maya says, honestly, I believe that Lindsay was far more antagonizing than you were. I see what she's saying. I think she views Lindsay being so stoic as like antagonistic in a situation where Danielle felt a lot of emotion. I don't think she was intentionally trying to piss Danielle off. I think she's just over it. And I also think maybe there's a part of her who was a little bit enjoying that she was like Joe Cool about this whole situation while Danielle looks a coconut, frankly. So Danielle tries to play it cool, like, we're going to get the party back on the rails, but then we see her go into the bathroom and she starts crying by herself, which frankly was something that she probably should have done when she found out that they got engaged. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been in quite the mess that we are here. But anyway, too late, too late. Sierra tries to have a conversation with Maya and Paige about the state of Danielle and Lindsay's fight. But then Maya gets super distracted again because she's watching Oliver like a hawk. He's taking a selfie with some chick. And I will say, unlike the girl that he was talking to at the bar, he was getting real close to a girlfriend with the camera. So she goes up, she's like, I gotta get a water, you guys. And they're like, okay. So Paige asks Sierra, has Maya ever mentioned anything to you about ending things with Oliver? And Sierra says, yeah. And it's going to be really hard for me when they decide to end things, but it is what it is. Hard for you? How? Then we kind of end the show. We wrap up some things. Kyle and Amanda get a scene in which I guess we're supposed to think that it's romantic, that she finds him really annoying and how mean she is to him, but she loves him. And I have to tell you, like, as a natural born bitch, I hate the idea of this relationship. I want a soft life. I want to be nice to you and I want you to be nice to me. And I don't want to constantly be like, Kyle, stop doing that. Like, I don't want to. I'm not your mammy, bitch. Be a man. I don't want to be annoyed by anybody. Like, I understand that those things happen, you know, in moderation, but like, we're not doing this like mean mommy thing. I'm not doing it. Cause you know what, on Sex and the City, Miranda famously said, nobody wants to fuck mean mommy. And that stayed with me. So anyway, what happens? Sam's boyfriend starts a drinks fight with Maya, which lends more credence to my idea that like Maya was acting very strangely and out of character because she was clearly trying to hold it all together. Here she is running around that backyard trying to keep her titties up while pouring pineapple juice all over him, be like, come here, oh! Like, it's a lot. Chris ends his storyline by, I don't know, throwing a bunch of women in the pool, which, another thing, don't do that to me, bitch. Don't do that to me. Chris, don't throw any black women to the pool. Don't do that unless they tell you it's okay. Do not. Like, he was grabbing chicks that didn't even see him coming and just, like, tossing them in there like old trash. Don't do that to me. Mm-mm. No, we're not doing that. I'm not that fancy free. I'll never be that footloose. Anyway, what else happens? Oh, so Maya tells Oliver, because she is all, you know, pineapple juice all over her body, tells him to go into the bathroom with her. And then she tells him, put your hand over your mic. And then she says, you shouldn't be here right now or today. And so Oliver, is he always like this? Is this always how he talks, or is he wasted? He's not really making sense. He's like, my goal was to be here for you. And then she says, I know what you're doing and you need to stop. Pull your shit together, please. So Oliver's like, I hear you. And Maya says, why would you cheat on me? Oliver says, I came to be with you. He keeps insisting, like, he came to be to this party to be some kind of support to her. Like, maybe I'm doing you a favor so that people don't ask you all day, where is Oliver? But that seems like a much better alternative than whatever the hell we saw. And now you keep trying to have these very private conversations in a public house full of cameras and microphones, and I'm not understanding why you did this. If you didn't want to talk about it, don't let that dude in your house and save it. Like, she could have kept it real cute and not even said anything about this text message she got and just been like, I'm not gonna do this. And we would have been none the wiser. But now we've seen you spend the whole episode trying to act like this very major storyline, of which you've had nothing else going on this season, quiet as kept, respectfully. I do still like Maya. And I think I'm one of the few people that do. But you met this guy on the show. You had this whole relationship. And now to, like, want to navigate it privately in the house don't make no sense, girl. And I have a feeling production's going to be pretty annoyed by that. And given the fact that, like, you really didn't give us too much outside of this, I don't really know how much longer we have with Maya. And, again, I think that's going to be a bummer to me and not many other people. But I don't know what she was thinking. She starts crying, and he keeps saying, like, I'm here for you, but, like, I'll leave if you want me to, but I'm still here for you, and I need you to know that. And so she keeps telling him to go, and eventually he walks out. I don't think we see Oliver again. Craig, the producer, I don't know how the hell he got wind of this, but he tells Kyle, I feel like there's something going on between Maya and Oliver. She's been acting aggressive, which is something that I would usually bulk at. Don't use that word towards black women, but the fact of the matter is she was doing like WWE wrestling over a bottle of pineapple juice, and it just seemed like a lot. It was a little bit aggressive. The evening and the season ends up winding down. Guests are leaving. Danielle's in the bathroom with her friends saying she wants to go home. And they're like, woo, 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 girl, you did nothing wrong. It's not your fault. It's just so frustrating that Lindsay, that somebody would treat you the way she did. And they all tuck her into bed in her outfit. They're like, we'll turn the lights out, girl. Danielle's like, what time is it? She's like, it doesn't matter. Go to bed. Woo, woo, woo. Sleep, 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 girl. Bye. And Kyle says in a confessional, the summer is one for the books. Very different. I've known Lindsay, Carl, and Danielle for going on 10 years now, and it's a bummer that we couldn't find a way to get them all on the same page. I always thought that no matter what happens, we can figure this out. But now I'm like, I don't know. And then everybody but Danielle takes her clothes off, holds hands, and jumps in the pool. And that's a wrap on, what are we, season 7? For some reason, like, I just don't care what season. It just never really stays in my mind of Summer House. And I will say that I am a little bit intrigued by the reunion. I'm very intrigued to see if we get any sort of information that might explain Danielle's behavior a little bit more. It does seem like she talks about protecting them or not wanting to bring things up on the show. We'll see. Will this help you at all? Don't think so, but I guess we'll watch it. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. We're talking about Vanderpump Rules. I'm so excited. All right.